Oceana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malpas again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, three is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, three for the win, it's good! Villanova wins it!
He dives, it is a touchdown! New England wins!
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row!
Miles Boykin is in the end zone!
The Irish have come back!
Here are your hosts, Darren Pritchett and Sean Stiers.
Good evening, everyone. 6 minutes after 5 o'clock, Sports Beat Live on 96.1 FM, WSBT, presented by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. Eric Hansen taking a vacation day today. Sean Stiers is live at Mishawaka High School. Mishawaka Cayman basketball on WSBT Radio tonight at approximately 7:30. It's the regular season finale as the Cavemen take on the Indians of South Bend St. Joseph. That's again tonight on WSBT Radio. I'm Darren Pritchett from the University of Notre Dame's Compton Family Ice Arena. Final weekend of the regular season for the third-ranked Fighting Irish hockey team. They will take on the Michigan State Spartans tonight and tomorrow. Opening face-off tonight at 7:35. Hear the game on our sister station, Z94.3 FM. We do have some tickets available for tonight and tomorrow. So seats are available tonight and tomorrow for the Fighting Irish hockey team. So what do we have going today? Well, we have a little bit of everything, actually. Yahoo Sports strikes again with more information into the FBI investigation into college basketball. And in their latest story, they have uncovered some files in a computer from a sports agency, and actually a former Notre Dame player's name popped up on it. But before you jump to conclusions, it's not going to be a big deal, apparently, so we'll talk about that coming up in just a couple of moments. Also, we'll play back a couple of comments from the Mike Bray radio show last night as Mike went through his injury updates, including one on Bonzi Colson, and Bonzi even offered his opinion on his health. Coming up in about 22 minutes, Alex Bozich, co-founder and editor for Inside the Hall, is going to join us to talk Indiana Hoosier basketball. IU hosts Ohio State tonight. It is senior night down in Bloomington. My five question of the day at 5:50. Sean, the former voice of the Irish women's basketball team from 01 to 08, he will rank the five best women's basketball players during that era. Wow, that's going to be tough. The whole 01 team could be 5-1, I thought.
Come close.
I know. Next hour at 6:07, Ron Heklinski, Mishawaka basketball coach, will join Sean live from Mishawaka High School. Rapid fire at 6:30. Here in my Notre Dame hockey booth, Chris Hagstrom, Director of Media and Promotions for the South Bend Cubs, will tell you about the new promotions this year for the South Bend Cubs and when single-game tickets go on sale. And we'll wrap up next hour with previews of Mishawaka basketball and Notre Dame hockey. We begin with this story that continues to unfold as it uncovers all the dirty little secrets of college basketball. Tip of the cap to Yahoo Sports for getting the details. And let me read two paragraphs from their latest story. Documents and bank records obtained in discovery during the federal investigation into the underbelly of college basketball detail in meticulous fashion the expenditures of prominent former NBA agent Andy Miller, his former associate Christian Dawkins, and his agency ASM Sports. They include expense reports and balance sheets that list cash advances, as well as entertainment and travel expenses for high school and college prospects and their families. The documents tie some of the biggest names and programs in the sport to activity that appears to violate the NCAA's amateurism rules. This could end up casting a pall over the NCAA tournament because of eligibility issues. There's potential impermissible benefits and preferential treatment for players and families of players at Duke, North Carolina, Texas, Kentucky, Michigan State, USC, Alabama, and a host of other schools. The document also links some of the sport's biggest current stars, including Michigan State's Miles Bridges, Alabama's Colin Sexton, and Duke's Wendell Carter, to specific potential extra benefits for either the athletes or their family members. The amounts tied to players in the case range from basic meals to tens of thousands of dollars. Now I'm going to tie in a couple of tweets from Tom Noy, who covers the Fighting Irish basketball team for the South Bend Tribune, because Notre Dame is listed in the Yahoo story as having a player on a list of players or families who had a meeting with Dawkins, a member of that ASM group. Now, Tom tweeted this out 9 hours ago. There is a Notre Dame connection to this, but involvement level is unknown. Former Irish guard Demetrius Jackson's name linked to Christian Dawkins, who worked for sports agent Andy Miller. Jackson listed among players' families who either met or had dinner with Dawkins. After a couple of other tweets, here's the final tweet. Tom writes, clarification, former Notre Dame guard Demetrius Jackson has never met Christian Dawkins. Mike Bray clarifies to the South Bend Tribune that Jackson's family met with Andy Miller agency reps during agent selection process. Family had a meal. Jackson was not present. So apparently this meeting between the ASM group and the Jackson family, or Jackson's family, occurred after he had decided to jump to the NBA draft and he was going through the agent selection process. So, Sean, it sure seems like this is really nothing to worry about at all. His name shows up on the list, but it appears it is after he had finished his Notre Dame basketball career. So unless something else is uncovered, this appears just to be Demetrius being on a list of clients that, or potential clients that they had talked to or met and possibly bought a meal for, or the family had been bought a meal and Demetrius was on that particular list because of what appears to be a family meeting with the ASM group.
Yeah, and there's nothing that says you can't have a meeting with an agent. The right. Timing kind of comes into play, when exactly the meeting took place. But he's on, I guess, what you would call the good list of the names uncovered in this whole thing. There's nothing that says he took anything, whether it's even down to as minor as a meal, did not take any kind of money, according to the list that he's on. But there's another list. That's a whole nother story. People who took anywhere from a few bucks to $1,000 or a couple thousand bucks, all the way up to over $40,000. But Demetrius Jackson is on the list of guys who just had a meeting with this agency to discuss, them representing him as a professional, which obviously, whether you're a college basketball player, baseball player, football player, whatever it happens to be, at some point, if you're going to go pro, you're going to have some kind of representation. So there's no crime in having a meeting with them, and so that's the list he's on. Now, again, on the other hand, there are other players where it gets a lot deeper than that as far as either them or their family members and that kind of thing that was uncovered. And, you know, kudos to Yahoo Sports, because really, you know, with just a few exceptions, ESPN is kind of becoming less and less the investigative reporting arm, and I think that has to do with the fact that they're a rights holder. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They're paying money to carry NCAA basketball and football games, or Yahoo doesn't have to worry about that connection. So they're going out and they're digging around and they're reporting some really good stuff out there. So kudos to them for going out and getting it.
Agree with that. So it appears we have nothing to worry about from a Notre Dame Demetrius Jackson perspective. What's going to be interesting is, since the NCAA is going to be just astonished that all this stuff is happening, that you have players playing right now that allegedly are involved in this, possibly right, taking money from this agency. And Miles Bridges of Michigan State, that is a huge loss to Michigan State if he is ruled ineligible. So what NCAA are we going to get? Are we going to get the NCAA that's actually going to take this serious and try to come to a conclusion over the next few weeks, if possible? I don't know if it's possible. Or are they just going to drag their heels because they don't want to touch their money cow, which is the NCAA basketball tournament. Yep. If Michigan State, Duke, and North Carolina are going to have players ineligible that are going to hurt their chances of going deep into the tournament, that's not good for the NCAA. Let's be honest. They're not protecting student-athletes. They're protecting the money. That's all they've been doing through this entire process. They don't want the Blue Bloods to be touched. And the whole North Carolina thing was a perfect example, a disgraceful decision by the NCAA to allow that whole thing just to go away, allow North Carolina to decide whether things are right or not with those classes. But, John, they're out to protect themselves. So are they going to do the right thing? And are they going to investigate this? I mean, I don't know why you would not possibly start suspending people until you get further details.
Well,
and that's going to happen.
That's the tough part. And look at the case with Notre Dame and hold that up. It's a little different because you had an academic issue, but at the same time, it's still an issue, and they self-reported and they suspended the players themselves. And then years later now, just a few years later, all those wins were vacated. So all these players that we're talking about, Miles Bridges of Michigan State, Wendell Carter of Duke, I mean, the games that they've played in right now, if this stuff is true, those games are already tainted. Those games are technically vacated. So, like, when you're talking about an NCAA tournament bid, if they go out and suspend now, I mean, where does that leave their record where they stand right now? There's just so much up in the air, and, I mean, I think we're going to have a slow trickle of stuff. I think there's more to come. Evan Sharpley and I were talking earlier today. Selection Sunday is just a couple of weeks away, and I mean, I could see more bombshells being dropped right around the announcement of the bracket on Sunday. That Sunday.
Well, just as an example, Miles Bridges from Michigan State, the documents uncovered two items involving Cynthia Bridges, his mom. Rentwood Lodge lunch with Miles Bridges' parents, $70.05. ATM withdrawal, Miles Bridges' mom's advance, $400. Now, Michigan State coach Tom Izzo issued a statement this afternoon, quote, While we will cooperate with any and all investigations, we have no reason to believe that I, any member of our staff, or student athlete did anything in violation of NCAA rules, end quote. So he's denying everything. So that's a little factual background on Miles Bridges.
It's one thing for a coach, and a coach might be completely ignorant of this. I mean, there's no reason for a coach to know if a player's mom is getting a cash advance from an agent. That's not information that's readily available, unless the coach is standing there every day at practice saying, okay, are your parents staying away from agents? I mean, I don't think any of us are naive enough to think that that's going on, but it doesn't matter if Tom Izzo or Mike Krzyzewski or any other coach knew about this stuff. If it's going on with the player, it's still an infraction. And the Fab Five Michigan team, it's their Final Fours were vacated over this very kind of stuff. Again, it was years after the fact, but this is the kind of stuff that brought them down. There's whether Steve Fisher knew anything about it or not, contact with an agent and receiving these kind of benefits from agents or anyone else is an infraction. And again, that's why I went back to the Notre Dame stuff, because there's nothing that says Brian Kelly or any of his staff knew that a student trainer was helping a handful of students with some homework assignments, but they had to vacate those wins. And so just because Tom Izzo doesn't know anything doesn't mean that Michigan State is off the hook.
Okay, to be continued, if you want to read the story, just go to Yahoo Sports, and it is a very interesting article. They show the documents of all the money. Jared Jeffries, the former Indiana basketball player, his name is on the list with money next to it. We'll ask Alex Bozich, the co-founder and editor for Inside the Hall, about that part of the story coming up when our interview gets started in around 10, 12 minutes here on WSBT Radio. So that's that story. Now let's get to the Bonzi Colson update. Hopefully you heard the Mike Bray radio show on WSBT Radio last night following weekday sports beat. The only chance to hear from Mike Bray before the Wake Forest matchup, which is tomorrow at 3 o'clock on WSBT Radio. We know Colson did some workouts yesterday. Anthony Anderson from the South Bend Tribune was on the show to talk Irish women's basketball. He saw Bonzi working out on the Purcell Pavilion floor, so we know he was doing something yesterday. So during the Mike Bray radio show, Bonzi Colson was alongside Coach Bray. And this was the Mike Bray slash Bonzi Colson update on the injury to Bonzi Colson.
You know, I mean, he's not going to be available on Saturday. You know, Saturday he's not going to be available to go. And we'll look at him in Monday and Tuesday in practice and see how he feels for possibly on Wednesday. I think that's kind of the plan right now with him. And making progress, but not ready to play in a game on Saturday.
All right, Bonzi's here, and I'm sure if I asked him, he'd tell me he'll be ready on Saturday. But
no, yeah. We already had that talk. No, he knows. Told him, I said, nothing Saturday. We'll see how you feel Monday, Tuesday, and make a decision on Wednesday, maybe Wednesday morning, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready yet. You know, condition-wise, I still have to get, you know, in better shape and still have some mobility in my ankle, but I'll be fine soon.
Well, I mean, and that's something I pointed out to folks. People who think, well, fine, he gets cleared, he just jumps in at mid-season strength. You can't possibly do that. You can ride all the bike you want to ride, and it's not like running up and down a court and banging against big guys.
No, it's a lot different. I've been doing a lot of workouts with Coach Humphrey, you know, getting back into the rhythm of things, doing a lot of pick and rolls and shooting. So it's a long, you know, steady process right now.
Now, I got a question for both of you. Who is the current career leader in double-doubles in the ACC?
Oh, my man still has it. He hadn't played.
This is what you lost. Bonzi Colson still leads the entire ACC in double-doubles with 32. Ben Lammers with 25 is the next closest one. Nobody else has more than 18. So I don't want him to start banging his head against the wall. But that's what this team has been playing without for most of the conference season.
It's a huge loss not having him. And his edge, he's got an edge about him and a toughness about him. But I tell you, he stayed very engaged. And as I've mentioned many times, Jack, he's led and he's set the tone and he's helped. And he continues to do that. And, you know, when he's ready, he'll come back. But not before that. We won't rush it.
Mike Bray, Bonzi Colson on the Mike Bray radio show last night. Just a reminder for fans who may have forgotten, Bonzi had a foot injury in early January, needed surgery. We knew he was going to be out 8 weeks. He's been cleared, did workouts yesterday. I know he worked with Ryan Humphrey because Anthony Anderson from the Tribune told us that during our interview yesterday. So we've got that confirmed already. But no Colson on Saturday, maybe Wednesday against Pittsburgh. It sounds like Mike Bray might make a decision on Wednesday. And I will say this, I did not hear the end of the program, but Tom Noy tweeted out that last night at the end of the program that Mike Bray said there is a possibility Bonzi does not return at all this season. So you're talking about the roller coaster ride. I mean, I'm worn out for the ups and the downs through this whole process.
Yeah, and that's kind of the
thing. You get your hopes up, and then boom.
Well, I mean, we're thinking he could be back tomorrow, possibly. We're holding out that glimmer of hope until they shot it down last night. And then he's like, oh, no, it's not that. And then not only might he – it might take until Wednesday. It might take until the ACC tournament. Or, by the way, he might not play at all. So, I mean, and I think that's the big thing is just kind of these next couple days – seeing how things go, seeing how it feels after he has been out there working out a little bit, because as Anthony Anderson told us last night, he was still a little bit ginger, not feeling his best or looking his best, it looked like. So we'll kind of have to play it by ear, I think, just as far as how it sort of recovers after those first couple days out there on the floor.
Sean and Darren with you, 524. Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser on WSBT Radio. Here's Mike Bray giving an injury update on Rex Pfluger, who missed the Miami game with a back injury. And DJ Harvey, we know he is going to be out for a while with that knee injury. Here's the update on both of them.
He's making progress. He was in some shooting drills today. I expect that we'll have him ready to play on Saturday. He's still sore, but... you know, we need eight guys. If we're going to beat somebody, we need eight guys. Can't do it with seven. And I know he'll work to get himself back. You know, we did get some tough news with DJ Harvey. He will undergo surgery next Wednesday in Chicago. Ever since DJ, you know, did this knee, we've had a cartilage specialist involved, and he just happens to be the top guy in the world in Chicago. He's also the Chicago Bulls team doctor. DJ has gone over a couple times and was over yesterday again for another look. And so he is going to have a procedure done in Chicago next Wednesday. He will not return this season. And it's a little bit longer recovery, but we feel we'll have him back for next season.
So not good news on Harvey. Cartilage now involved, but Pfluger looks like he'll be back for the Wake Forest game tomorrow. So no Bonzi, no DJ. That's just reality for the time being, at least with Bonzi. And they'll have to press on against a bad Wake Forest team who is next to last in the ACC. They beat Florida State at home. Otherwise, this is a team that, even with Notre Dame being banged up, is there for the taking. So that's the good news as they try to win their seventh ACC game tomorrow when they take on the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, 3 o'clock here on WSBT Radio. And one more soundbite I want to get to right now. Mike Bray and Bonzi Colson both chiming in on this team fighting through a lot of stuff this year.
I'm very proud of this group. I mean, I don't know what it's going to mean for the postseason and when it ends, but I think this group will always have a special spot in my heart because of what they went through, yet they hung in there. Our leadership was good. We kept swinging. We kept emptying the tank. You know, we were, as you saw the other night, we were emotionally and physically spent. We gave everything we had, and we'll continue to do that till this thing ends.
Bonzi, what's it been like? Because your roommate, Matt Farrell, has missed a ton of time to the point where he can't qualify right now to be ranked among the ACC leaders in conference play because he hasn't played in 75% of the games. But he was involved. How have you guys, and you've played a big role in it, Matt has, the injured player, everybody. How have you kept this team together so that they continue to go out regardless of what happens and compete? Because you'd have every right to feel sorry for yourself as a unit, and I've never seen any of that.
Yeah, we just go out there, just play hard. You know, that's the type of guys Coach Bray recruits, and he tells us every game, and just empty the tank, give it all. And once we do that every game, there's nothing more you can ask out of a team, and we do that. And we just grind, and we get better, and everybody just loves to play the game and give it all.
Mike Bray, Bonzi Colson from the Mike Bray Radio Show last night. So no Bonzi tomorrow. Maybe on Wednesday, maybe not at all. That's where we stand right now with the All-American. Sean and Darren with you. When we come back, we will speak with the co-founder and editor for Inside the Hall, Alex Bozich. We'll talk Indiana basketball. They'll take on Ohio State tonight at 8 o'clock in their Big Ten finale in Bloomington. You're listening to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on 96.1 FM, WSBT. Welcome back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on 96.1 FM, WSBT, brought to you by Budweiser, along with Sean Steyers. I'm Darren Pritchett. The Indiana Hoosiers take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Senior night down in Bloomington, IU 16-13, 9-8 in the Big Ten in the wrap-up conference play, taking on the 16th-ranked Buckeyes. Joining us to talk IU basketball is Alex Bozich, co-founder and editor of InsideTheHall.com. Alex, thanks for your time today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Greatly appreciate your time. We haven't talked to you in maybe a month and a half or so. So let's just talk about the month of February, Indiana basketball. How would you assess the way Coach Miller has improved this basketball team during that time frame?
Yeah, they're obviously a work in progress still. There's a lot of limitations with this group just from personnel and talent and still adjusting to a new system. But overall, you know, they've gotten better as the season has moved along, which is really in a transition season, that's about as much as you can ask for. They're obviously going to finish with a 500 or better record in the Big Ten, which if you go back to early in the season, some of the losses that they took to Fort Wayne and Indiana State, obviously it looks like this team was, you know, headed for a bottom half finish in the Big Ten, and they've already wrapped up at least the seventh seed in the Big Ten tournament. They can get up to six if they win tonight. So overall, you know, I'd say that they are a team that's getting better and really playing their best basketball of the season this last month. They've had some good wins. They've come up close against some really good teams in Purdue and Michigan State at home, and they're obviously looking to kind of break through tonight against Ohio State, a team that they didn't play too well against the first time back in late January over in Columbus.
The meeting with Ohio State does close out the regular season, and a couple things along with that. Chris Holtman, their head coach, he came from Butler, obviously. So the first part, are fans generally happy with what they've seen from Archie Miller's first team? And the second part, is there at all a sentiment that, especially with the success that Ohio State has, that maybe Chris Holtman got away?
To answer your second question, in terms of whether Chris Holtman got away, I would say I've not heard that really from hardly anybody. I think the situations are obviously a lot different inheriting Kata Bates Diop, who is essentially the Big Ten Player of the Year, didn't play for Ohio State last year at all, is, you know, obviously he's going to be a first-round pick probably in the NBA draft. So situations are a little bit different. In terms of how fans have kind of reacted to Archie Miller, and he's been embraced for the most part, I think. I think that he's done a really good job in the recruiting trail. They've got, you know, four guys signed. They've also got a redshirt freshman in the program, Race Thompson, who is a four-star recruit that will become eligible next year. So five incoming players, and then obviously they're still involved with Romeo Langford, who could really change things for the outlook for next season. So I think there's a lot of excitement around the program. And, you know, I think there's probably some pretty good teams to come in the coming years in Bloomington, just because you look at what's going on in the Big Ten. You know, Michigan State's going to obviously lose a lot this offseason. Ohio State, as I talked about, lose Bates Diop. Purdue's going to lose four starters. So there's a real opportunity for Indiana to kind of climb the Big Ten standings pretty quickly. And based on their finish this year, they don't really have that far to go to get maybe in the top three or four spots as early as next season.
Co-founder and editor of Inside the Hall, Alex Bozich, our guest on WSBT Radio. Alex, I grew up in Big Ten country. I'm still a Big Ten conference fan. And I really feel like with the conference tournament at Madison Square Garden this year and having to push everything up has really hurt some Big Ten teams. And I've talked about this on the show, so maybe you'll disagree with me, but I really felt like Indiana was put in a very difficult position by the conference, having to play seven games in 17 days. It's not necessarily fatigue, but it's also Archie trying to improve his basketball team with practice, and you can't go all out in practices when you play that many games in that short of a time frame. Do you feel like that has hindered the progress of this team?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be short turnarounds when you get to the tournament play anyway, so I guess it kind of prepares you in a sense from that. But I do agree that, you know, that the season's been more compact than usual. It's not, though, only just because of the Big Ten tournament being in Madison Square Garden. The TV schedule has changed so much this year because of the addition of Fox to the partnership. You know, it used to be that the Big Ten really didn't play games on Mondays and Fridays, and now with Fox in the mix, like tonight, we have a game on FS1. So that has changed things. And, you know, the thing I didn't like about the schedule this year was that every time Indiana had a two games in 3 days situation in conference play, the second game was always on the road. That just makes it really tough when you're playing a home game and then you have to turn around and travel the next day and then play the following day. It just takes its toll on a team, and obviously Indiana hit a rough stretch there, I think, where they looked fatigued, but they've kind of had, you know, a little bit more time recently to kind of get their legs underneath them, and they'll have a little bit of a break here going into the Big Ten tournament. So overall, you know, I think most of the teams in the Big Ten went through a similar thing. It'll be interesting to see how it affects maybe some of the top-tier teams when it comes to the NCAA tournament. You know, will Michigan State or will Purdue or will Ohio State show fatigue when the tournament starts? That to me is one of the more interesting things just about this year's schedule, and see how that ultimately affects the Big Ten teams in the tournament.
Friday games are not common at all, either for college basketball or for football, obviously. But the Big Ten has made that change this year. And this is at least the second time Indiana's had to play on a Friday night. What do you think of these Friday night games?
I just don't like it because I feel like in Indiana specifically, might not be this way everywhere else, but in Friday night, to me, in Indiana is reserved for high school basketball. I mean, I grew up in New Albany. I go to a lot of New Albany games now because Romeo's being recruited by Indiana, and they're a really good team and they're fun to watch. But, you know, there's just so many programs around the state that have really good teams. And, you know, I grew up going to high school basketball games on Friday nights, and now the fact that they have these, you know, 8 p.m. start on a Friday night, it's just, to me, it's obviously all driven by TV and money, and there's nothing we can do about it. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think it's a good thing for basketball in general in Indiana. I just don't think that's a kind of holding to a tradition of how it's always been.
Alex Bozich, our guest, co-founder, editor of Inside the Hall. Since you mentioned recruiting, give me your impressions or what you have heard about Demezi Anderson from South Bend Riley High School, who is signed to play for Indiana next year. Do you have a feel for how his senior season has gone and your impressions on how he could impact Indiana next year?
Well, I've seen Demezi play a bit. You know, I saw him a little bit in AAU. I saw him this summer with the junior all-star team, and He was a guy who I don't think Indiana really had had much of a shot with before Archie Miller came on board, but they really prioritized him and got him locked up. But in terms of his potential impact, he can obviously score the ball, and he's the all-time leading scorer in South Bend High School boys basketball history, which is an impressive feat. I think he's going to have some work to do in terms of getting his body in better shape and becoming a better defender. But I think he's going to be a guy who's going to come in and make an impact. Obviously, Indiana needs shooting. He can provide that. He can provide scoring. So if he can get himself in better shape, I think, a little bit more athletic and kind of embrace the things defensively that Indiana coaches wanted to do, I think he's going to be a guy who can come in and play pretty significant minutes right away.
I remember when we had you on last year, you talked about Tom Crean and the way he recruited. Obviously, he hadn't recruited up here, but just in terms of guys like Demezi, are guys like him maybe going to be something that Archie Miller has to or will look at going forward in his recruiting model?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty evident that he's going to try to go after the best kids in Indiana. Just right away, he's already gotten Robert Fennessey, who's in Purdue's backyard, and to me, he's going to be outstanding in Bloomington. He's a really good point guard who fans are going to grow to love over the next couple of years. And the fact that he went up to South Bend and got Demezi out of there, I mean, I know Michigan had been involved there, Purdue, some other Big Ten schools were going to show interest the longer it went on. So, you know, those were two pretty big wins. And obviously he's doing all he can to get Romeo Langford. So, you know, I think he's kind of sticking to what he said when he got the job. He was going to do an inside-out recruiting approach. Obviously you can't have a team that's made up of all Indiana kids. But when you have a special kid or a top 100 kid that you think can play at the Big Ten level in your state, and you're, you know, the state school, you have to prioritize those kids. And Indiana got away from that. You know, the last couple of years of the Tom Crean era, fans didn't like that. And so far, that's kind of the approach that Archie Miller's taken, and we'll see how it goes over the next couple of years. But I think he's done a really good job with the 2018 class. I think he's kind of put in some good work early with the 2019 crop, and I think it'll continue to bear good fruit because there's always talent in the state of Indiana, and I think that's if you're going to win big in Indiana, you have to get the best Indiana kids.
Well said. Alex, I know the shot at the NCAA tournament, it's a long shot for Indiana at this point. Just for Indiana fans and our listening audience, how would you evaluate where they stand for the NCAA tournament? I hate to bring up the NIT. We're having to talk about that around here, unfortunately, as well with mm-hmm. Notre Dame. But how would you evaluate their postseason possibilities?
Well, I would say, you know, obviously to make the NCAA tournament, they're probably going to have to win the Big Ten tournament. Maybe if they won Ohio State and then got to the Big Ten tournament championship game, you know, obviously they would have had to beat at least two pretty good teams to get there. Maybe they would be in the conversation, but I think they would have to win it to get in. As far as the NIT goes, you know, if they beat Ohio State tonight and maybe win one game in the Big Ten tournament, I think they have to feel pretty good about their chances there. Obviously, they would have, if they beat Ohio State tonight, they would have a 10-8 record in the Big Ten, and it's hard to see the NIT passing up a chance to televise an Indiana basketball game, potentially in Bloomington this year, rather than last year's debacle where they went on the road. So I think that they would make the NIT if they beat Ohio State tonight and maybe win a game in the Big Ten tournament. And I think that would be probably a team that would be dangerous there because much different than last year where you kind of felt like that team was just ready for the season to be over. Mm-hmm. This team feels like it's playing its best ball of the season right now and seem to be enjoying being out there with one another. And, you know, who knows, they get to the NIT, they might actually, a lot of teams get there and quit. I think this team would probably play really well, play hard, and try to win.
Are you pretty excited to see Big Ten basketball at Madison Square Garden?
Can't say that I'm thrilled about it.
Good man.
Never been there before, so I'm going to get a chance to go there. Obviously, leaving on Wednesday morning, I'll get up there. They'll play Thursday, get a chance to do a little sightseeing up there. But I'm sure Madison Square Garden will be a cool place to watch basketball. It just doesn't feel right to me to have, you know, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio State, all these Midwest programs shipped out to the Big Apple to watch hoops. But Jim Delaney wanted to have this done. I think it's probably a one-time thing.
Good.
But we'll see going forward. It should be a fun atmosphere, if nothing else.
I knew Alex was very, very smart.
That's right.
Hey, my final question for you, Alex, just looking big picture, when you think about March Madness, I know it's all about matchups, but putting that aside, who do you feel like is the most dangerous Big Ten team?
I would say Michigan State. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with any of this stuff that came out, you know, with Miles Bridges today. I don't know how that affects his availability going forward, if it will even have an impact. But, you know, if they obviously have their whole complement of players, they're, to me, playing as well as anybody else in the country. They're going to obviously win the Big Ten outright. They've got a long winning streak going. And just from a talent perspective, they have as much talent as anybody. So, you know, I wouldn't bet against Tom Izzo in tournament play. He's obviously had a ton of Final Fours, hasn't won a championship, obviously, since 2000. But I feel like this year is pretty wide open. And if Michigan State, as you mentioned, you get the right matchups, they could easily be a Final Four team with a good chance to end the Big Ten's national championship drought, which if they don't win one this year, it'll be 18 years, which is hard to believe.
Unbelievable.
Now, Jared Jeffries, you mentioned that report. Jared Jeffries, the former IU player, is on there, but I saw a couple of your tweets regarding that today. Can you kind of clarify the timeline between ASM and Jeffries and the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, those spreadsheets are dated 2015. Like, those, the way I read it was, that's kind of the timeline of when those loans were made. Obviously, Jared Jeffries left Indiana in 2002, and so it seems like he was a client of Andy Miller, but if these transactions seem to be made after he had already left Bloomington. So I would say nothing to worry about in that regard, although I would also add that we have no idea what's going to happen moving forward with any of this stuff. I think it's a very much a moving target. I know that Pat Forty and Pete Thamel are two of the most well-respected reporters in the business, and I think just based on some of the stuff that I've read from them the last couple of weeks, it seems like there's more coming. That's just my hunch. But I would be very surprised if this is really the bombshell of all this. I feel like the longer this goes on, the more things are going to be uncovered. And it could change the sport dramatically. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But it could be coming also at a bad time for the NCAA basketball with the tournament coming up. You just don't want this stuff kind of lingering over. So it'll be I think it's going to be an interesting month coming up here.
Yep. Alex Bozich, co-founder, editor, Inside the Hall. Hoosier fans, check it out. Videos, stories. I love the five takeaways that he does from Indiana's loss at Nebraska. The only thing he left out, Nebraska has the most annoying bench in all of college basketball. And I hope they don't make the NCAA tournament because of that bench, because they absolutely drove me nuts during that Indiana game. And IU plays Ohio State tonight. 33 years ago today on that floor, Bob Knight threw the chair across the floor. Hopefully that doesn't happen tonight. Alex, greatly appreciate your time as always. And again, IU fans, check out Inside the Hall for the latest in Hoosier basketball. Enjoy your stay in New York City. And again, we greatly appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Alex, thank you. And Sean, let me add this, because today Chicago Tribune came out with a story in which the commissioner of the Big Ten, Jim Delaney, had something to say today I think you might find very interesting. Are you ready?
Okay, go ahead.
He was asked about what we just talked about, the schedule this year in the Big Ten, and here was his comment. Quote, "I appreciate the sacrifices the teams made. The impact it had on our students wasn't good, wasn't healthy. I thought starting the conference schedule early was okay, but if you look at our schedules through the years, we've been able to give everybody two-day prep before games in 99% of the cases. We won't do it again this way, and I take responsibility for asking the coaches. If we can make it back to the Garden on a regular week, that's great. I know we'll be back out east. Where we will be, I don't know. It won't be on a regular basis. I expect that 80% will be in legacy territory, which would be Chicago or Indy, and probably 20% out east, whether it's D.C., Philadelphia, or New York," end quote. Well, I'm glad Jim admitted he screwed up. That's step number one. Number two, Philadelphia?
I know.
Philadelphia?
I guess you got Penn State territory, and you're close to Rutgers and all that, but again, it's...
Jim, just read your words. Just read your words. Just stop. Please stop. Again, Indiana played 7 times in 17 days. Illinois just played 3 times in 5 days. I mean, come on, folks.
It's not worth it. At least he admitted that it was a misstep, yep, and yep, plans to correct it in the future.
What was it on Christmas vacation with the money you got over the holidays? Sometimes the things that look on paper affect good people.
That's right.
You know what? So, just not a good decision. All right.
Nope.
Hopefully never again. We'll take a timeout. My 5 question of the day comes your way next on 96.1 FM, WSBT.
One question, 5 answers. This is the My 5 question of the day on Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
Sean Steyer is the voice of the Irish women's basketball team from 01 to 08. So we ask him today the 5 best Notre Dame women's basketball players during that time frame. We begin with number 5.
All right, and I'll just say my run ended the year before Skylar Diggins' career began, so she cannot be included on this list. My number 5, though, is Devereaux Peters, who is a teammate of Skylar Diggins. She's kind of maybe a sneaky one on this list. Her career was hit by injuries a little bit. She's the school's 6th leading rebounder. Her 227 block shots are 3rd in the Irish record books, and she was part of 3 Final Four teams along with Diggins that began with a run in 2011.
Number 4.
Number 4 is the first of a trio of members of the 2001 National Championship team on the list, Alicia Ratai. She was probably the most soft-spoken players around off the court. She looked like a school librarian, but she was just an assassin on the court with her shooting. Her 87% free throw percentage is 2nd in school history, and her career 47.6% three-point percentage is the record in Division I women's basketball for a career.
Ranking the best Notre Dame women's basketball players during the time frame Sean was doing the play-by-play from 01 to 08. How about number 3?
Number 3 is another member of that squad, the point guard Nielle Ivey. She tore her ACL as a freshman in 1997, which was the program's first Final Four season, but that injury allowed her to be the point guard for the national championship team in her 5th year at Notre Dame. The Final Four was in her hometown, St. Louis. She has the 5th most career three-pointers in Notre Dame history, and when she left school, her 348 steals were an all-time Irish record until Skylar Diggins broke it at the end of her career.
Number 2.
Number 2 is the first local player to ever play for the Fighting for Muffet McGraw in Jackie Batiste. She got there after that national championship season the next year at the same time as Chris Thomas with the men. She's Notre Dame's 5th leading all-time rebounder and the 3rd best career rebound average per game at 7.8 for a career. And just under 1,900 points, she ranks 7th in school history in scoring.
And number 1 on your list for the best Notre Dame women's basketball player during your time calling the games from 01 to 08.
Still there, Darren?
Yes, I am. Yep, I'm here. Go ahead with number 1.
Well, I'm right, not apparently sure if I'm on the air or if Darren is on the air, so I'll just go ahead and say the number 1 player on the list from when I was a play-by-play voice of the Fighting Irish Women is Ruth Riley.
And I think we've lost Sean. I think it might have been on his end. I think that might have been the giveaway right there. But Ruth Riley, number 1 on his list. We apologize for the technical difficulty. We'll take a break. Sports Beat continues next on WSBT. Sports Beat presented by Budweiser on WSBT Radio. Coming up next hour, a conversation with Mishawaka basketball coach Ron Heklinski. Chris Hagstrom of the South Bend Cubs talks promotions. We'll preview Mishawaka and Notre Dame hockey right now, 6 o'clock at WSBT.
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT presents Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Booger, up and in! With 2 seconds left, Notre Dame leads!
Malpas again, backhands, he scores!
Down to the corner, Jablonski, 3 is good!
Andrew steps in, he's going to throw deep for T.Y., he's got it!
Flips to Jenkins, 3 for the win, it's good! Villanova wins!
gets it.
He dives. It is a touchdown. New England wins.
Adios! Cubs win their ninth in a row. Miles Boykin is in the end zone. The Irish have come back.
Here are your hosts, Darren Pritchett and Sean Stiers.
It is 6:07 on your home of the Fighting Irish, 96.1 FM WSBT. Darren Pritchett from Notre Dame's Compton Family Ice Arena, where the Irish hockey team, ranked number 3 in the country, will take on Michigan State at 7:35 at our sister station, Z94.3 FM. My co-host Sean Stiers is over at Mishawaka High School inside the Cave, preparing for Mishawaka Cayman basketball against South Bend St. Joe tonight at around 7:30 on 96.1 FM WSBT. And Sean, you have a special guest.
We absolutely do. The head coach of the Cavemen, Ron Heklinski, is with us. I'm sitting here. I can't read anything that he's writing down, but I'm watching him read or write anyway some of his notes before the game. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good, and even if you could see him, you couldn't read him anyway, because my hand, I mean, my dad was a dentist, and so he taught me how to write like a dentist would write.
There right? You go. All those scripts and yes, all that good
yes,
stuff.
Yes, no one could ever copy it, trust me.
Yeah, Vince Tadario is along here with us as well, and Coach, this is senior night for you, the last game of the regular season, the final game, the final regular season game of your first season coaching this team, and you've talked since the beginning about bringing your culture here since you got here. Has that whole process in this first year been easier, harder? How's it gone compared to maybe what you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I thought these guys have been really, really responsive. It's always tough when you're coming in and you're doing new things and you're asking kids to do things that maybe they hadn't done before either from a basketball fundamental standpoint or just a time period or things like that. And I think these guys, my hats are off to these guys, because these guys have really worked hard. They've done a nice job. The process is really just getting started. So you know, it takes a year, a couple of years to get everything involved and get everything in. But I couldn't be happier for these seniors. That's, you know, I'm in this building process the first year, and have laid the groundwork for everybody else to come after them now.
We're going to talk specifically about some of those seniors in a little bit, but we'll grill you a little bit more first.
I tell you what, Coach, you know, obviously we've seen all the home games, and you can see how these guys have grown as a team, and that's obviously coming from the way you want to build this program. But specifically in the last game, the team defense you guys played and how it just, they were hustling all over the floor. It led to your offense. And I mean, it just seemed like everything came together so well in the last game. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, John Glenn, the last home game here was John Glenn. John Glenn is a really good high school basketball team. Beat South Bend Washington, beat Marion. Right. And we knew coming in that they were going to be really tough and really strong. And you know, and really, in order for us to be really good in that game, we had to play hard. And we really did that probably for the longest of any game this year, maybe 28, 29 minutes. Then on Tuesday night against Concord, our last quarter was really good. And so hopefully, you know, I mean, going into the state tournament, going into the St. Joe game, St. Joe's a really good basketball team, by the way, and going into this game, hopefully we can keep those concepts in place. But, you know, that's the tough thing with young kids. Today, you know, they might be really good. Tomorrow, through no fault of their own, just, I mean, they're kids. And so we'll see what the consistency looks like tomorrow.
Talking to the head coach of the Mishawaka Cavemen basketball team, Ron Heklinski. And, Coach, now, think back. This is the last game of the regular season. Think back to November when things got started. I'm sure you probably got less hair, or at least more gray hair now than you had at that point. What's maybe something that you, when you looked at that team in November and you went, man, they're just never going to get it. But now you're sitting here at the end of the season, and things went a lot better than maybe you thought they were going to.
I think it's probably just learning how to play hard for long periods of time, whether it's at 6 a.m. when you're going through running workouts and being intense in that, or whether it's in practice or whether it's on game night, just learning how to give a maximum effort and play hard all the time. I think our guys are doing that now for longer periods of time, and that's progress. I mean, those are little small steps, and that's progress. I think our seniors, John Binion, really has done a great job of being a leader for these guys, and every day on the court coming to work. And my hat's off to these eight seniors on that.
Was there maybe a light bulb moment for this team where all of a sudden it just seemed like it was happening?
Yeah, when I kicked about six balls and hit about six light bulbs up here in the cave. And that's a strong kick to get up there. But
that's a break the
yeah,
light bulb
that's
moment.
A light bulb moment. And not really, just I thought we played really well in the Marion game and probably should have won that game and took Marion down to the last possession of the game. And I thought at that point, I think our kids started to kind of believe in the whole thing. And then once they do that, kids are pretty resilient, by the way. Mm-hmm. And once they do that, and once they understand that we didn't tolerate guys not playing hard, we didn't tolerate you not giving a great effort. And if you're not going to give that effort, then you're going to sit for a while. And I think they got through that process pretty good. And now I like the way we're playing.
Well, we want to talk about some of these seniors. Obviously, we touched on John Binion. I'm going to go back to the last game. What a kind of a coming out party for Trayshawn Jeffries. Holy, he was everywhere on the floor and nowhere at the same time. He had to have 10 steals. I mean, we didn't see the final stats or anything, but it seemed like every time you guys needed a big defensive stop, there he was, diving after the ball, getting dirty. I mean, he played very, very well. Talk about him a little bit.
Yeah, he's a tough kid. I'm in this senior program tonight. You're going to read all the seniors made a quote, and I thought his quote was really interesting. He said, in every game I've ever played, in every court I've ever been on, I've always been the smallest guy, but I've never known I'm the smallest guy. And that's how he plays. He's got a heart the size of Texas. He'll make some mistakes, and then he'll come back and he'll make some great plays. He's playing as well as he's played right now in this second half of the season.
That's interesting. I like that. I really like that quote. I mean, he's listed at 5'5". I don't know if he's really 5'5" or not, but like Vince said, you don't have to be 5'5" to be a good high school basketball player.
Yeah, no, he's quick. He makes up for his size with his quickness, and he's really intelligent on how to play the game. He's really coming into his own now late in the season.
You're constantly working on fundamentals. Even we see out here in the warm-ups before games working on a lot of those fundamentals. Have you driven your guys crazy with that stuff this year, just drilling it into their heads?
Not really, because I think you work them hard and then you back off and you find a time maybe to give them a little breathing space a little bit. But when you come to practice, there are certain things you better get done, and playing hard and executing and doing the things that we want you to do are the things that you need to get done.
And we were talking about your starting lineups. We were joking about it the other day. You've had so many different starting lineups this year, and everything that you're talking about, what happens in practice, shocker, it dictates what happens on game day, right?
Practice is the great measuring stick. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, if you're not going to bring the effort, if you're not going to do what you're supposed to do in practice, then really there's no way you're going to do it in a game. So our guys know to practice hard, and just practicing hard isn't the deal. You got to practice right, and I think our guys are really learning how to do that now.
You've got sectionals with Penn coming up next week. It is senior night tonight. How do you keep your guys focused for tonight's game?
Well, it's always been one game at a time. That's how it's always been here. And right now we got St. Joe. Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock we have Penn. And we'll put the Penn stuff in tomorrow morning and get going on them and try and finish this season up the right way tonight against St. Joe.
Ron Heklinski is the Mishawaka Cavemen varsity basketball coach. They're taking on St. Joseph here tonight. And it is senior night, and you've had the posters of those seniors up on the wall here in the cave all season long. I want to go through each one of them. Now, you don't have to write a book on each of them, but I want you to tell me a little bit about each of them as we go through this list here tonight. And let's start at the top of the roster. I'm just going to go numerically. Start with Peyton Johnson.
Yeah, great shooter. Shooting about 46% from three. When he gets his feet set, he's automatic most of the time against Penn. He made five in a row against Goshen. He came in off the bench, made five or six in a row the other night when we played John Glenn. He made two or three. I mean, he's just automatic, and he changes the game. Now, his deal is when he rushes his shot, he's it's not as good, and so we're always talking to him about getting his feet set.
How about a guy who is also a pretty good football player, Isaiah Evans?
Great football player, came out this year. We decided to keep him because of his body and his physicality, and he's done a nice job. He's been a great practice player for us, and is a really, really good kid. Going to go to Indiana Wesleyan to play football.
Yep. All right, Brian Brayton.
Brian, man, I wish I had Brian another year. He's very athletic. We have 8 seniors, so, I mean, there's got to be some guys that don't get a lot of clock. Started a couple games for us, played really well early. Had a little bit of a back issue, kind of set him back a little bit. Now he's, you know, trying to get himself back in the rotation, but a super kid.
You talked about Trayshon Jeffries. Anything else that you want to add with him?
No, he's just I mean, he's just a dynamo. He's a great kid. He gets after it. He loves basketball.
How about the next guy, Kenny Minifield?
Man, he hit a couple big shots against Concord late in the game, and really good shooter. Sometimes we'll forget a couple things along the way, but he's a great kid, and he's had some really good moments for us.
Dylan Hall.
Outstanding. I mean, what a really good player, averaging about 12 or 13 points a game. Gets to the rack as well as anybody that I think I've ever coached. All he needs is a half a step, and he can get to the rack. He finishes really well. I'm looking forward for his play in this game tonight, and then as we move into the sectional.
John Binion.
Yeah, the big warrior, man. He's if John Binion was 6'5", 6'6", the big fella would have a chance to play somewhere at the next level and have one of those Ds after a D1, D2, something like that. But,
right.
I mean, he's 6'2". He's a warrior. He understands how to play, and he's just a joy to be around every day.
Then a reserve forward for you, Corey Madeira.
On cavemansports.com, he talked about his role. He said, Coach Heck told me I'm not going to play a lot, but my role is to make our guys better in practice. And spot on for Corey. He's a great kid. It's exactly what he does.
Last guy I want to mention, not on the team, but he's up there as well, and that's a guy who's a student assistant with you, Micah Gabler.
Yeah, Mike, you don't think he's a student assistant. He thinks he's an assistant.
That's right.
And I love Mike. Micah just does a great job. Loves basketball. Anything I need, he's wonderful. We're going to miss him, as much as any player.
All right. Ron Heklinski, we appreciate it. We've enjoyed being out here in your first season with the Cavemen. Good luck tonight. And, of course, we look forward to seeing you next week when sectionals start against Penn.
Hey, thanks. And you guys do a great job. Thanks for doing our games.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ron. All right, that is, again, Ron Heklinski, the head coach of the Mishawaka Cavemen. And I don't know if Darren is hanging out back on the other side over at the Compton Family Ice Arena or
yes,
not
sir.
Right now. There he is.
Yes, sir, I'm here. Yes.
All right.
I've been listening intently. And I'm just imagining, I have not talked to Ron about this. And maybe this is something we can ask him down the line. But just listening to him talk, he sounds like a single-class basketball guy. That's just my guess. But we'll have to ask him sometime when we have the chance.
Sounds
always
good.
Always a hotly debated topic, of course.
That's very right. True.
6:19 at WSBT. Do you want to do a little rapid fire right now?
We can do a little. I got a couple Notre Dame basketball questions I can throw your way if you'd like.
All right, sure.
Let's start with this one. What's more likely to happen tomorrow? Matt Farrell and TJ Gibbs both score more than 20 points, or Martin Gebben has a double-double?
I'm going to say Gebben will have a double-double just because they lack the size at Wake Forest, I think, to handle Gebben. He hasn't been the double-double machine that we have seen maybe a couple of weeks ago, but I think he'll get one in this game, and it's a lot to ask two players to both score 20. If one has a bad day, you don't get there. So I'm playing the percentages. I'm going to say Gebben gets a double-double.
I'm going along with you on that one. His last double-double was in that home game against Boston College, and then his last one before that, he had 22 points and 17 rebounds in the double overtime loss to Louisville, but he's had a much tougher go of it since then, and he was kind of a double-double machine there for a while, too. Farrell needs 16 points to get to 1,000, by the way, tomorrow, which I just noticed in the notes today. But he's kind of gone every other game over 20. He had 15 against Miami after the 37 against BC. That came after just 9 against North Carolina, 28 before that against Florida State. And Gibbs has gone 4 straight without topping 20 points. His last time was
the 28 also in that home game against Boston College. So it would be nice if those two guys could get it going again over 20 points or even average somewhere over, around 40 points or something together. But I think Gebbin has a pretty good shot because Wake Forest just doesn't have the same kind of size that they did as last year. So I'll go with Gebbin in the double-double as well.
Okay.
All right. Next Notre Dame question. Looking at them right now, does your gut tell you NCAA or NIT?
And you said Notre Dame, right?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, right now it's just I'm going to have to say NIT at this point just because so much has to go right. Their margin for error is gone.
Right.
I mean, they have to win these next two. You could argue they need to beat Virginia. If they don't beat Virginia, I think they have to get to the semifinals of the ACC tournament. So that's a lot to ask a group. And again, with the way the Mike Bray show ended last night, that maybe Bonzi doesn't come back at all. I'm just, they've lost so many tough games. They've been in a lot of games, haven't been able to close it out. I just can't imagine, Sean, things are just going to flip all of a sudden over the last handful of games. So I hate to say it because, I despise the tournament, but I got to go NIT.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter if we like the NIT or not, but unfortunately, more and more, it's looking like that is probably where they're headed because I think it's so much to ask of Bonzi Colson, even if he does come back, with the fact that he has been injured, and we heard early in the show from Mike Bray's coach's show last night, Jack Nolan made a great point. It's not like he can just come back in and be at full strength right away. He's got to come back in. We're talking about a broken bone in his foot. And when you look at the ACC bracket, I mean, you're talking about, even if they make a run, you're talking about five games in five days because they have to play on that first day now. That is a lot to ask of a team as a whole, but also it's just a huge ask of a guy like Bonzi, who is coming back from the injury, to expect that he could be full strength in that kind of short form going up against some of the teams that they would be going up against.
Well, ask Jim Boeheim in Syracuse. They pulled it off in the Big East once, winning 5 in 5 days, but it's a lot to ask.
Yep, absolutely.
They had this team not very deep, unfortunately.
Nope, they're not. Last question for you. I'm pretty sure I know what the answer to this is, but do you buy or sell college basketball on Friday night? Like we've got the Big Ten again tonight.
Sell, and I just saw a tweet from Don Fisher of Indiana basketball, and he was on a radio station, and someone tweeted what he said, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, all the ADs and the head coaches need to get together and tell the Big Ten, we're not playing on Fridays anymore. And he's exactly right. TV dictates it. I know it's on FS1, Indiana, and Ohio State tonight, but Don Fisher's exactly right. Someone needs to step in. I get the money. I get the TV, but especially in the state of Indiana, it is a special night of the week with high school basketball. So they're exactly right. And hopefully Delaney will stand by what he said today, that this schedule didn't work out well, that they got to do something different now. I assume they're still going to play some Friday games on FS1, but I just don't get it. I got to sell it. Basketball on a Friday night should be people watching it in a high school gym.
Yep, that is absolutely right. That's where we are, or where I am right now, is sitting in a high school gym, and that's when all your big conference games are, or on Friday nights when you're talking about high school basketball. And it also gives the coaches, depending on if they're home, it gives them a chance to get out and see some of these games on a Friday night. And that's what it's supposed to be about. They shouldn't be playing on Friday nights. They shouldn't be playing college football on Friday nights either, but they did. And of course, we're talking about the Big Ten in both instances. I mean, the only exception that I could see is this year, because of the fact that you have the Big Ten tournament starting next week. And of course, that's a completely different story. The reason why is Jim Delaney has already admitted that they shouldn't be doing it because they're playing at Madison Square Garden, and that was the availability. But if you're going to do it, they should all be playing tonight, and then you give them some rest and some travel time so they can get out there to New York for the Big Ten tournament. That's the only exception would be this season, but they should all be playing on the same night. And that's the other thing is you've just got one game, Indiana and Ohio State. It's just completely ridiculous. They shouldn't be playing college basketball or football on Fridays.
Well, I remember as a kid it was pretty simple. If you're a Big Ten fan, your team played on Thursday and Saturday, and you had travel partners. Yeah. And I remember Illinois and Purdue were travel partners, so teams would play Illinois one night, Purdue the other night, vice versa. It was just cut and dry. It was simple, but obviously TV stirs the drink. A lot of money at stake. Big Ten's not going to turn that down. But that was a very, very simple time when you knew your team was going to play without looking it up in the TV guide.
That's exactly it. A much simpler time. Simple times are gone, though, unfortunately. Yeah.
Remember you used to get a TV guide in the newspaper?
Man,
not anymore.
I mean, that was only, what, 5 years ago? Those were the good old days.
They're long gone, that's for sure.
That's absolutely
right. All right, that's
right.
A little taste of rapid fire. Sean, thank you very much.
All right.
It is 6:27. Sean at Mishawaka High School. I'm Darren at the Compton Family Ice Arena. Coming up next, we're actually going to talk some baseball. The South Bend Cubs season right around the corner. The new promotions are out. We'll tell you about some of the new promotions and the old standbys that are back. And also, when do single game tickets go on sale? Chris Hagstrom will have those answers coming up after we take a timeout. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat presented by Budweiser on your home of the Fighting Irish, 96.1 FM, WSBT. How about that? This week in baseball. Darren Pritchett back at the Compton Family Ice Arena. It is 6:33 on this Friday evening. Once again, Mishawaka basketball at 7:30. The Cavemen take on St. Joe here on WSBT Radio on our sister station, Z94.3 FM. It's Notre Dame hockey against Michigan State. Pre-game at 7:20, opening face-off at 7:35. And I guess we might have a banner unveiling tonight. There's a little banner hanging in a roll to my left, so I'm assuming that is the Big Ten regular season championship banner that may be unveiled here tonight. We'll see. We're going to talk some baseball right now because, well, today was the first day of spring training games. Hallelujah. Baseball right around the corner. And I'm joined by Chris Hagstrom, I guess my boss with the South Bend Cubs.
I kind of like that title. Say it again.
There you go. Director of Media and Promotions for the South Bend Cubs. And he's here to talk about the promotion schedule that came out this week. And we'll also tell you about single game ticket sales, when that is going to get started. And it's February 23rd, so it's definitely time to start thinking baseball. So, Chris, let's start with the old regulars, the old standbys, the weekly promotional schedule. One thing about the South Bend Cubs, no matter what day of the week it is, there's always something happening.
There always is something happening, Darren. You know, earlier I heard the organist here at Compton Family Ice Arena was playing a little charge, so I thought, hey, what a great way to segue us into baseball. But coming up, of course, as you
know... What's the organ music under you talking?
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. You hear that?
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's quite all right. It's, you know, can't be Gary Pressy, but that's okay. Our weekly promotional schedule, all the favorites are back. Everybody loves fireworks. So we're bringing back fantastic Friday night fireworks. Great Fantastic Friday fireworks joining us this year. And, you know, one of my favorites, I think, is a flat screen giveaway. I love flat screens. Who doesn't love a flat screen? You could always use one.
Yeah.
So we're going to give away flat screens on Saturday. Sunday Fun Day returns with playing catch on the field before the game and, of course, player autographs after the game. Sometimes you got to catch Darren by his car because he gets out of those games really fast on Sunday Fun Day. So you got to try to catch him quickly.
There you go.
Belly Buster Monday returns for our Mondays. All you can eat hot dogs, popcorn, and peanuts with the purchase of an $8 wristband. One favorite that I know people love are $2 Tuesdays. You know, not all families can come out for a price of a ballgame in a Major League Stadium. Average price, Darren, over $300 for a family for four. Family of four, over $300 the average price. The average price at a South Bend Cubs game is only $100 for a family of four.
Okay.
So you're already getting some savings there. But on $2 Tuesdays, we have different $2 items. $2 tickets are on two different nights. You've got $2 Fun Zone, $2 popcorn, a lot of different $2 items on those days. Giveaway Wednesday, everybody loves free stuff, and we're bringing back Giveaway Wednesday. We couldn't do World Champions Wednesday again, but we'll do it again for the 2019
season. There you go. We'll mark that down.
And then Thirsty Thursday, of course, returns with $2 sodas and draft beer all game long.
Talking South Bend Cubs promotions on SportsBeat with Chris Hagstrom. One of the more popular items, no matter the sport, bobbleheads. And the last couple of years, there have been a lot of interesting bobblehead giveaways involving South Bend Cubs or Chicago Cubs on rehab assignments. Dexter Fowler, Gleyber Torres, Eloy Jimenez, they all have in common, once they got a bobblehead with the South Bend Cubs, they all were either traded or not brought back to the Chicago Cubs. So who's on the list this year?
Well, that's what worries me about the list this year, because I don't want to see either of these two guys go anywhere once they get
really?
Their bobblehead. But
really?
Well, Ian Happ.
You want him.
Guy.
You want him.
You want to keep him on there. He'll be May 23rd, a great Ian Happ bobblehead, and had a chance to see it. Now, unfortunately, though, Ian Happ would not let us put a smile on his bobblehead because he said it wouldn't be realistic.
That's right. He never smiled.
No.
Great guy, but never smiled.
And then Jason Hayward is our second bobblehead, June 6th and 13th. What I love about the Jason Hayward bobblehead is it's different than the ones in the years past. It's not pinstripes. He's not wearing the blue jersey. He's wearing the American flag 4th of July jersey that he wore back on July 2nd and 3rd.
Awesome.
So it's a little different.
Fielding or batting stance?
Batting.
Okay, just curious. So Jason Hayward, bobblehead.
I'm not going to read
I'm
into
not
that.
Pointing fingers.
No.
I'm just asking. And Hayward, June 6th and 13th. That'll be the giveaway. Ian Happ on May the 23rd. How about just some of the other additional type giveaway nights that kind of caught your attention? Then we'll get to some new stuff in a minute.
Well, of course, we have our magnet schedules, which we do on every opening night. Fleece blankets on April 23rd. This one just in, Darren. Actually,
uh-oh,
not even on the release.
Breaking news.
We're doing a pint glass giveaway on opening night, the 7th. April 8th, and then again on Wednesday, April 11th. So three South Bend Cubs pint glasses in early April. So that one just got signed today.
Okay. Awesome.
Breaking news there. I know everybody loves cupcakes, so Stu's birthday bash, a new promotion we're doing, we're going to give away cupcakes
nice. On
his birthday. Plus, we have Bark at the Parks as well returning, so we're doing dog bag dispensers, which I'm sure you can imagine what those are. little dog bones that have little plastic bags that come out of them for when you've got to take care of your
pet.
Yes,
absolutely.
Dog bowls. We also have dog frisbees. One of my personal favorites that I've designed this year, snow globes. It is a Four Winds Field replica snow globe. So it'll be a really cool item once you guys get a chance to see those. Plus all your favorites, thunder sticks, youth baseball jerseys, T-shirts, hats, and, of course, the standby favorite, the 2018-19 calendar with the 2019 schedule already on it.
Chris Hagstrom of the South Bend Cubs talking South Bend Cubs promotions. Now let's talk about new theme nights. Some different things have been added to the repertoire.
Well, of course, we already talked about we're adding an additional Bark at the Park, so three Bark at the Park nights, but we're also doing College Night this year. That's coming up on April 12th. Now, we're going to be asking all college students to come on out and represent their college with a special, shall we say, incentive for them. We'll get to that a little bit later on
okay. This
year. Stu's birthday bash, as I mentioned. Craft Beer Night is another new one where people can, fans get the opportunity to purchase a craft beer wristband. It'll be a chance for you to try out 60 different craft beers.
Oh, wow.
And you're going to get a replica, or not a replica, you get a new mug, a beer stein, if you will, from the South Bend Cubs. So it'll be a pretty cool item to add for your collector's edition. Also coming up later on this year, we'll have Princess and Pirates Night, a little different take on our Princess in the Park. And Darren, I know you're actually...
Princess and Pirates together.
Yes, Princess and Pirates, because...
So it's the Reds playing the Pirates.
You can send all of your email to @sportsbeat961.
I have no love lost for that team, so I'll say whatever I want.
Clearly not. Just like you love the umpires, too, you know.
Absolutely.
And then also, I know you're brushing up on this one by reading the books. Harry Potter Night coming up on August 9th, and then we'll have Faith Day on August 26th.
It's amazing in opposing ballparks. The robes, Harry Potter glasses, people come out in all the attire.
It is a really big night for a lot of different minor league teams, and we're looking forward to joining this
Lansing year. Did a great job with it last year.
Absolutely.
All kinds of activities taking place. All right, so that's some of the popular new theme nights. Now, you guys have done a great job of bringing in former players or personalities, kind of VIP events. Do you have anything to announce yet in that category?
Well, we have our two VIPers signed. But I'm not going to tease them for you just yet. We got a press release coming soon, but I will tease it. I won't announce, but I'll tease. This one of our VIP guests will that's going to be coming to Four Winds Field this season played for 16 years and 18 years and played for 8 different teams. So you can kind of infer who you want there. And the second one is a man who played for 3 different teams. And Darren, I know how much you love hockey, and facial hair is a big part of hockey. And facial hair is also a big part of this man's repertoire. So look into that how you will, but two VIP meet and greets this year at Forwards Field.
He was a Cardinal for a day or two and got traded.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
That's not giving away a lot. If anybody picks up the answer off that, they're really, really good. So I don't think I gave anything away there.
No, I don't think so. But two great VIP experiences coming out to Four Winds Field this season.
All right, so, Chris, we've got all the promotion schedule. So now there might be fans that want to get tickets for those particular nights. When do single-game tickets go on sale for the South Bend Cubs?
They'll go on sale on Wednesday, March 7th, beginning at 10 a.m., and you can get them in 3 different ways. You come out to the box office. What I've loved about our fans that come to the box office is we have folks that start lining up at 6, 7 a.m., for these tickets, and you don't see that a lot in a minor league level, lining up that early for tickets. But we have people that do it every year, and I always make sure I'm usually there by about 5:30 in the morning. I'll bring those folks donuts, and we're going to have donuts for folks that want to come out to Four Winds Field and wait. There'll also be some coffee as well. But you can also get your tickets by phone, 574-235-9988, or online at southbendcubs.com.
All right, so the South Bend Cubs open their season at West Michigan on April the 5th and the 6th.
Hopefully,
and then
we actually play that game this year.
That's right. Last year had a little weather problem. Had to play a doubleheader for the first game. And then the home opener for the South Bend Cubs is Saturday, April the 7th. So can you tease anything about that day, or is it too early?
I could tease a little bit about that day. I can tell you that we always make it a big day, and we always try to get a great national anthem singer, and we of course, will have another fantastic national anthem singer this year. Last year we surprised everybody by having some little pyrotechnics as we introduced the players with the smoke and the fog. Yep. So we'll always try to make sure we do something fun in that regard. But really, opening night, it's a Saturday night. It's flat screen giveaways. You're getting fireworks. We're going to have face painters. We're going to have balloon artists. So, Darren, I'll make sure the face painter comes by your booth.
Sure.
Since I know you'll be looking forward to that.
Yep.
And, of course, we have pregame entertainment planned. I'll even tell you who that is. Southern Straightaway, great Southern rock band. They'll be performing at Four Winds Field.
Very nice. And since we have you here, why don't you tell us about the newest member of the broadcast team this year?
That's absolutely right. So this year we have a brand new broadcast team. I know, Darren, you're looking forward. You've been working with him on the Cubby Corner, which you can watch at southbendcubs.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/southbendcubs. But Brendan King, we joined the broadcast this year. He comes to us from the Northwest League. He also worked a little bit in the summer leagues as well, and he is a graduate of Butler. So a local boy who is a huge Cubs fan and is going to make a great addition to the roster this season.
That's right. He's going to be doing some middle innings work at home, and who knows from there. So great to have Brandon on the team this year, that's for sure.
We're also hoping to do some post-game interviews as well, assuming all works out for there. And, you know, that was a great addition to the broadcast a couple years ago, and I really look forward to bringing that back again this year.
Oh, the interviews.
The post-game interviews.
I thought you were talking about yourself joining the post-game show. Well, I was trying to remember when you were on the post-game show. Now I know what you're
talking
about.
When we went to those 12, 13, and 14 innings, that's what I call the post-game
boy.
Show. Oh, boy. How much food did we get during those broadcasts?
I got my extra inning package from some of my friends in the front row behind home plate, the Snyders.
The Snyder family.
The emergency extra inning package, which had some interesting items in it that I still have on my desk at work that I have not used. Anything else?
I'm looking forward to baseball, Darren. We're 42 days, 23 hours, 19 minutes, and 48 seconds and counting until opening day at Four Winds Field.
So remember, March 7th, single-game tickets go on sale. So all of those promotional nights, some you might be interested in, get your tickets now taken care of. Then you can walk right through the gates and get ready for a good old night at Four Winds Field in downtown South Bend.
Well, especially those fireworks nights, Darren. I mean, how many times have we had sellouts? People come up to the gate and they want actual seats, but we're out of them. They have to sit in the lawn. That lawn is bad by any means, but if you want an actual seat, you got to get your tickets in advance.
That's exactly right. Thanks for stopping by. Greatly appreciate it. We'll see you in a few weeks.
All right, I'm going to enjoy some great Notre Dame hockey as the club room across the way. So let me just grab
my
pass.
Look at you.
High rolling tonight, Darren.
Big timer. Chris Hagstrom, Director of Media and Promotions for the South Bend Cubs. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
We have a time of 6:46, and Sean will rejoin me. We'll preview Mishawaka basketball and Notre Dame hockey next on 96.1 FM, WSBT.
Sports Beat presented by Budweiser on 96.1 FM WSBT. It is 6:49. I'm Darren Pritchett at Notre Dame's Compton Family Ice Arena. Sean Steyer's back at the Cave at Mishawaka High School getting set for Caveman basketball on WSBT Radio tonight. And let's do some previewing of our game. Sean, let's start with you. It's an NIC matchup. Mishawaka taking on South Bend St. Joe. Approximate opening tip at 7:30. Of course, you're always held hostage by that JV game, depending on how long it goes. So give me your impressions of the way Mishawaka is playing right now entering this matchup against South Bend St. Joe.
Well, they're 13-8 overall, 7-4 in the NIC, so a pretty good season that they've had. They've won four out of their last five games, including Tuesday's 59-52 win over Concord. They lost a game in the NIC earlier this week to John Adams, 60-53 on Monday. The Cavemen, though, are tied for sixth place with John Glenn in the NIC standings, and St. Joe is at 9-2 in the conference, but they've looked really good, and you heard some of Ron Heklinski when we were talking with him earlier. Just really impressed with the defense that they've played. They came out, and not that they weren't having a good first half against John Glenn in the game that we had last week. They were pretty good, but they came out in the third quarter and just lit the place on fire with their defense and were really able to pull away in that game, and that's been the thing. And again, if you heard some of what he was talking about, we've talked about effort, and I think once you get to college, I think at any level it's expected, especially at college and beyond. But kind of like what he's talked about, he's had to teach these kids about having to give effort on a regular basis, and we've seen it throughout the course of this season where it's become steadier and more intense, and we're seeing it at a much more consistent level right now, and it is shown with the record that they have and what they've been able to do this season.
Sean, a thought on the game tonight as Mishawaka takes on the Indians?
A good matchup for them and a good way to close out the regular season, because St. Joe is sitting with a 14-7 record under fifth-year head coach Mike Bauer. They're 9-2 and in third place in the NIC, and their only two conference losses are to Riley, which is unbeaten coming into tonight, 21-0 overall, 11-0 in the NIC, and to Marion as well. And Marion, and they're actually tied with Marion with 9-2 records, and Marion's 18-3 overall. So, I mean, they're sitting there as the third best team, really, in the NIC right now, and what has been a pretty good NIC from the top to the middle of the conference this year. They had a five-game winning streak actually snapped just a few days ago on Tuesday with a double overtime loss, 60-53 at Plymouth. So this is going to be a really good final matchup, final challenge for both of these teams here tonight to end the regular season with sectional starting next week.
You will offer the outstanding color commentary events. Sean will have the play-by-play tonight. Mishawaka taking on South Bend St. Joe here on WSBT Radio at approximately 7:30. Meanwhile, Sean here at Lefty Smith Rink. It is third-ranked Notre Dame taking on the Michigan State Spartans. Big Ten tournament starts next week. Notre Dame will be the only team not playing the regular season champion and number one seed. They will not play again until March the 10th in the Big Ten semifinals, and Notre Dame will host that game against the lowest-seeded team remaining. And right now, three of the seven seeds are set. And it's Notre Dame number one, Ohio State two, Michigan State seven. So 2-7 in the best of three first round series next week. Michigan State at Ohio State. The Irish are going to try to get back on track tonight. As you know, Sean, they won 16 consecutive games to set a program record since. They are 3-5-1. Breaking it down a little further, on February the 9th, they clinched the Big Ten regular season title by beating Ohio State 3-1. Notre Dame is 0-3 in the three games since clinching. The first two games, I don't think the effort was good enough for anybody involved with the program. They played much better Sunday. They played a solid game. They just didn't score, and they lost to the Wolverines at Yost Ice Arena 1-0. So if they show the effort and the work ethic that they had on Sunday, good things are going to happen this weekend against a Michigan State team that is 11-19-2 overall, 5-15-2-1 in the Big Ten. This is one of the great powers in college hockey. They have won three national championships. But Danton Cole trying to rebuild this program after 4 or 5 years, just not up to the caliber of Michigan State hockey. They're going to be back very, very soon. But this is the first year of the rebuild process under Danton Cole, a coach that Jeff Jackson has a ton of respect for. So the Irish will try to get going tonight. They've lost three in a row. They'd like to wrap up the regular season with a couple of wins because they will be shut down until March the 10th when the Big Ten semifinals take place here at Lefty Smith Rink. And Michael Leary, Notre Dame sophomore center on the third line, was out last week, and with an illness, he's back in the lineup tonight. We'll wrap up Sports Beat next on WSBT. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on WSBT Radio. Sean Stiers, Darren Pritchett with you. Well, Sean, have a great call tonight. Mishawaka and South Bend St. Joe. And again, Penn and Mishawaka, we know, are going to play in a sectional matchup. What day is that going to be?
That is next Tuesday right here, and it will tip off an hour earlier than usual, 6:30 here at the Cave.
All right, so a shorter sports beat on that particular night.
Yep.
All right, very good. Well, have a great call tonight. Go Cavemen. Good luck to the Indians tonight. Should be a good matchup as we wind down the Indiana basketball boys regular season. Hard to believe.
Oh, I know it. It's gone by pretty quickly. You have a good one over there as well, and hopefully the Irish get back to their winning ways again against Michigan State.
That would be good. We'll take that. All right, Sean, have a great evening. That's Sean Stiers at Mishawaka High School. He'll have Mishawaka basketball probably in the next 15, 20 minutes. The pregame show will get underway, if not sooner. I'll be on Z94.3 in about 20 minutes. It's Notre Dame and Michigan State in Big Ten regular season action. Sports Beat brought to you by Budweiser on WSBT.